We started Sunday morning from Colossians 1, making the most of your Christian service, how to make the most of it, how to work smart. Rob Hall brought an incredible message Sunday night about being steadfast in our faith out there in a wicked world. Shane and Dan brought a classic Monday night, doing things heartily as to the Lord from Colossians 3. Clint brought, I thought, one of the most insightful and convicting messages on prayer I've ever heard last night. It was incredible. And if you missed any of these messages, you really missed an opportunity to grow and change. Each one of the messages have been just so impacting. I mean, big time impacting. We've been in the book of Colossians for the entire series. We handed out these books starting Sunday morning. And if you need a book, our ushers are coming down the aisle right now. Ushers, if you'll come quickly. If you need a book, just raise your hand because there is an outline for Pastor Rich in here for tonight. It's the last one in the book, and it's called Fulfilling Your Ministry. If you need a book, just lift your hand up, and our ushers will be glad to hand you one. Pastor Rich is going to complete the Bible conference for us tonight. And I think that's very fitting because Pastor Rich is the man that has put this thing together. He is the brainchild behind the Bible Institute. He is the one that put the program together, that's implemented it. He's the guy. He is the guy. If you appreciate our Bible Institute, and I asked one of the nights how many of you have taken at least one class, and I think over half the congregation stood. But if you appreciate our Bible Institute, you need to thank that man because he's put in hours of diligent work putting this together. So for our final message and for our charge to our graduates tonight, Pastor Rich.
All right, thank you, Pastor Dan. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you can open up to the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians 4, I want to do something a little bit unusual that I don't do very often. I'm going to pretty much just preach on one verse, Colossians 4, verse 17. Colossians 4, 17. In Colossians 4, 17, the Bible says, with Paul speaking, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." You know, a church one time put this obituary on the back page of their bulletin, and I thought it was meant to be funny, but I think that they were trying to get their point across. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you, at least the beginning part to get it started so you can see it, and then I'll finish the rest. The title of it was this on the back of their church bulletin. It says, "Church mourns death of prominent member." The church was saddened this past week to learn of the death of one of its most prominent members, someone else. Someone's passing creates a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Else has been with us for so many years and did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Let me finish reading it. It says, "Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, a meeting to attend, a vacancy to fill, one name was on everyone's list. Someone else. Let someone else do it." It was also common knowledge that whenever there was a need for prayer or a financial need, everyone just assumed that someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing to be superhuman. But a person can only do so much. Were the truth be known, everyone expected too much of someone else. Someone else left a wonderful example for us to follow. But someone else is gone now, and we wonder what we're going to do. That might be a strange story to put in the back of a church bulletin, but do you think there's some truth in there? I've been told in a typical church, about 90% of the work is done by about 10% of the people. They say that one reason is because the pastor doesn't want the help. He enjoys doing ministry so much that he wants to do all the ministries himself, and he doesn't want to share them. I don't think that's the case in our church. We don't have that problem here, do we? We want and we need the help. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's not the pastor, but it's the church that has the attitude that ministry was what they pay the preacher for, and he should be doing everything. There's all kinds of reasons why people give, why they're not ministering in their church. But I believe the principal reason that people give of why they're not ministering the church, number one in your notes is this. I believe the principal reason why people leave ministry to someone else is because they don't understand that ministry is everyone's responsibility. Some people could probably speak religiously to you and I and say, well, it's the church's ministry or it's the Lord's ministry. But when we get to the heart of the matter, we are truly supposed to rely on Jesus Christ, but it's God that works through us on this earth. In Philippians, Paul wrote that it is God which worketh in you. He works through human instrumentality here on this earth. He's placed his ministry in our hands, and it's up to us to receive it, it's up to us to do it, and it's up to us to fulfill it. Amen. Your notes say, we are the church. The church isn't the building, the church is the people in the building. And it takes people to do ministry, and it involves us. You and I. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul uses the personal pronoun thou to emphasize this. Paul says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, not someone else. Paul says, see to it that you fulfill it. It's such an interesting verse in Scripture. I think it's so applicable to our 15 Bible Institute graduates here tonight, but the Lord help us not to think that this verse excludes the rest of us and that no one else in this room tonight is called to minister besides these in these first few rows. The Bible makes it clear that if you've received the gift of God's salvation, you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And as members of his body, you are his ministers. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so what? Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister. And because of that, ministry is everyone's responsibility. Number two. A second reason I believe people leave ministry to someone else is because they simply do not see the need. They don't see the need. I believe that's why Paul said in verse number 17, he said, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Take heed. That phrase, take heed, means to look at. It means to behold. It means to see. That Greek word that's translated into English as take heed in Colossians 4:17 is translated over 100 times in the New Testament as see, as see. You know, maybe you're like me and you can't see a whole lot without your glasses or without your contact lenses. You're blind as a bat like I am. And this is especially true for me. You know, if I need to get out of bed in the middle of the night, I need to put my glasses on to find my way, or else I'm going to end up in the closet instead of the bathroom. I can't see a thing without my glasses on. But you ever notice that sometimes, even with your contacts in or even with your glasses on, you still have trouble seeing things in their true light? You have trouble seeing things, and then all of a sudden we say, the lights come on. The lights come on. Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's possible for something to exist right before your eyes and you just don't see it? It happens all the time. Look at this picture I have on the screen. What do y'all see? How many of y'all see a musician, a guy playing a saxophone? How many of you didn't see that? How many of y'all see a woman's face? How many of y'all didn't see that? I remember the first time I graduated from college, I got a job, and I got a job in management for a company known as Eckerd Drugs, who is now CVS. You better take that off the screen or else they're going to look at that thing all day long and try to figure it out. I remember right out of college, I got a job in store management with Eckerd Drugs. That's now CVS, and I was in store management. And in store management, I would get periodic visits from the head honcho, the district manager. And I remember several times being the manager on duty for these visits when I worked in Jacksonville as a young 22-year-old. And the district manager, he was a brilliant man. Just before each visit, I thought the store looked great. And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way in the world he's going to find one thing wrong in this 22,000-square-foot store. But lo and behold, when that DM showed up and he did his inspection, he gave me a list of about 50 things that he pointed out that needed to be done. He pointed out things to me that I had been looking at for months that he saw and I didn't. Kind of like when you were a teenager and your mom came into your bedroom and you hadn't cleaned it in a month and you thought it looked fine. It's amazing to me that you can look at something day after day and you can grow accustomed to the way it looks. And that just becomes a standard. But then someone from the outside can come in and look at the same thing and truly open your eyes to what you need to see. I think that person in the life of a Christian is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. If we're going to see that ministry is everyone's responsibility, if we're going to see the need to minister, your notes say we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, the Bible says, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the whole city was given to idolatry." Paul was yielded to the Spirit, and then he saw the need to preach to those in Athens, Greece. Hold your place here in Colossians. We'll come back in just a minute, but turn back to the first book in the New Testament, which is Matthew. Matthew chapter number 9. The one thing that we love to do here at Crossroads is go on mission trips. I think last year in 2012, we had 7 missions trips with representatives from our church. And you hear a lot about missions trips in our church. But then when you go on a trip, your eyes are opened. And your spirit is stirred up inside of you when you see the need. You see the need for help for the church planner. You see the need for help for the missionary. I remember when we went to New York City a couple years ago on a missions trip, we saw the need. We saw the need for the church to be refurbished. We saw the need for those people in Brooklyn to have Christ in their life. We saw the need for the pastor of that church to have some help. I was getting worried because on the last day of our missions trip, we were getting down to the wire and the plane was leaving JFK in about 3 hours. And we still had people on our missions team that were still scraping and that were still painting and that were still doing yard work and that were still doing cleanup. Why were they doing this? Because they saw the need. That pastor had been doing just about everything himself, from the preparation of his message to the creation of his PowerPoint to the making of his Sunday morning bulletin to the cleaning of the buildings to the cleaning of the bathrooms to going out on door-to-door visitation. Why? Because he saw the need. He saw the need. In Matthew chapter number 9, look at verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the need is great, but the laborers are what? Few. We must see the need and understand that ministry is everyone's responsibility. Number three, a third reason why I believe people leave ministry to someone else is because they don't realize that ministry is of the Lord. They don't realize that ministry is of the Lord. Go back to Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 17. Colossians 4, 17. In Colossians 4, 17, Paul tells Archippus one more time. He says, take heed to the ministry ye have received in the Lord. You know, in the past, I volunteered for the YMCA, the United Way, the American Red Cross, the Daytona Beach Shores Fire Department. That was all well and good. But you see, the ministry that we have as Christians is not your normal and typical service. It's a special service because it's of the Lord. We serve a higher power. The Bible says we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received a lot of work, a good amount of work from other people that I haven't been too thrilled about. How many of y'all have a dog? We do too. And I remember when we first got this dog, all the kids, they begged and they pleaded with me. They said, please, Dad, can we have a dog? Can we have him? You know, Dad, we'll love that dog and we'll take care of that dog. And the big pushover that I am, I believe them. But once that dog was in the house, it's funny, who ends up having to feed the dog and bathe the dog and walk the dog and let the dog out and let the dog in? We receive jobs from others that we're not too thrilled about. But in comparison to receive a ministry of the Lord, back in Colossians 4:17, Paul is basically saying to Archippus, he says, Archippus, are you getting it? Do you see it? Do you see what? In your notes it says, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, ministry should just be a natural part of your life. As a Christian, ministry should just be a natural part of your life. If it's not, there's something wrong. The more I think about it, God relies on us seeing the opportunities that he places before us to serve him. He relies on us to see it. He relies on us taking the initiative, taking the training, taking the Bible Institute courses to become better equipped to do the work of the ministry. In our Bible Institute catalog that we have online and also on the back table, we have a welcome page. And the welcome page tells of one of the reasons why Crossroads Bible Institute exists. It says that we believe that God's word should be studied and learned so that the believer can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I go in further to say that's one of the reasons why a Christian exists? Christianity, it says in your notes, is about taking the ministry that you have received in the Lord and looking beyond yourself to fulfill it. Christianity, let me ask you this question. Christianity is based on the life of who? Christ. Jesus Christ. Someone who knew something about looking beyond himself. Also, the Apostle Paul is a great example. Paul is probably the best known of all the apostles. In the New Testament, Paul's name is, I believe, mentioned more often than any other name besides Jesus Christ. And might be because of Paul writing more than half of the nearly half of the New Testament. But Paul's influence was so powerful. You know, even to this day, Jewish religious leaders literally hate the Apostle Paul. They despise him. Why is that? Because Paul had been a religious Jewish leader himself. He was one of them. Instead of truly serving God by serving others, Paul was really just serving himself. He was just serving himself. But then Paul got saved. And when Paul got saved, the lights came on. And although Paul was blinded by that light of Christ on the road to Damascus, he could now see. He could see the things that he couldn't see before. He was now a member of the body of Christ. And just like any member of your physical body, he got his orders from the head, Jesus Christ. Is Rob Hall in here tonight? Rob, I'm going to use you for a second. Let's hear it for our youth pastor, Rob Hall. He's got a packed house. Rob has a packed house in that balcony tonight. Look at that. Now, Rob, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to extend your arm out and hold it as straight and hard as you can. I'm going to see if I can pull your arm down, okay? Do y'all think Pastor Rob is stronger than me? All right. Hold it as strong as you can. As strong as you can, okay? All right. All right, I can't do it. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is a packet of sugar. I want you to open it up, let it dissolve in your mouth, and I'll call you back up in a couple minutes. In your physical body, I'm going to explain this. In your physical body, the neurons in your brain, they send signals to the rest of your body parts to tell them what to do. Kind of like when you're catching a ball, your head tells your arms to do what? To raise them up to catch that ball. If the head doesn't communicate to the body part to raise their hands, what's going to happen? The ball's going to hit you where? Right smack in the face. But what happens? What happens if your arms don't receive the communication? What happens if the body parts are not in communication with the head? You're going to get the ball in the face, aren't you? You know, I'm going to have Kathy come up this time because she's stronger than I am. For this experiment, for this scientific experiment, I needed someone that was the beefiest, most muscular, strongest person in our church office besides me. And so I went with Rob Hall. So Rob, come on up here. Rob didn't have anything to eat or drink. He hadn't had any sugar in the last 90 minutes, and that's how this is going to work. But you all just tried to see me, and I, with all my might, I tried to push his arm down, didn't I? But it wouldn't let me, could it? Because his head was telling his arm to stay still. The head was communicating with the body part, the body curve. But what happens when it doesn't happen? What happens when the body part's disconnected from the head? Go ahead, Rob, go ahead and stick your arm out again. Hold on a sec. Now, I want you to hold it out as strong as you can hold it, okay? All right. Do y'all think Kathy's stronger than Rob? All right. Go ahead and try to push his arm down. What? You're kidding me. Let's see that again. Wait, stick it one more time. Can she just do it? Wait. Can you just do it with one? You think she can do it with one finger? Do it one more time. Let's see if she can do it with one finger. The point is this. When the body part, his arm, was no longer listening to the head, it couldn't do what it was supposed to do, could it? Thanks, guys. Before Paul got saved, he was like the guy after eating the sugar packet. And by the way, teenagers, I know you're all going to leave here and do it on your friends at school tomorrow. But I don't recommend it. Before Paul was saved, he was like the guy after eating the sugar packet. He was disconnected from the head, wasn't he? Jesus Christ. But then after Paul got saved, Paul was in the Lord. And the first words that came out of Paul's mouth to the head of the body of Christ, Jesus, were these words. Paul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" In Acts chapter 26, we read of Jesus' answer to Paul. And his answer to Paul was, "Minister." Minister. Paul saw it, Paul beheld it, and Paul got it. Paul got that every member of the body of Christ is a minister. He learned that, and he wanted to make sure that others saw it too. To Archippus, he said, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord." A similar verse that Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5, he said to Timothy, "But watch, see, thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of whose ministry? Of thy ministry." Before Paul got saved, it was all about Paul's agenda. His life was about himself. But when Paul got saved, his life was about being a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference that Christ made in his life. What a difference Christ can make in your life. If it hadn't been for Paul, the message of Christ would have not spread the way that it did. But it starts by realizing that ministry is of the Lord. And then number four, the last reason why ministry a lot of the time is left up to someone else. Number four, it's because some people don't finish their course. Some people don't finish their course. They quit. They move on. They leave it to someone else. These graduates tonight, they know a lot about finishing courses. I believe they completed 22 different courses in order to graduate, on top of an internship, on top of a thesis paper. Look back with me at Colossians 4:17. Paul writes, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." The word "fulfill" in this verse means complete or finish. Complete or finish. Paul said, "Take heed to the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you finish it, that you complete it." Man, there's a lot of people that start off, they're hot on fire for the Lord right after they get saved, right after a missions conference, right after a Bible conference, right after a teen retreat. They're on fire for God. And then 6 months later, they're as cold as a cucumber. That sugar packet has taken effect. And then another special event comes along and they're excited again. Man, it doesn't take an event. It doesn't take a conference to show you and remind you of the truth of who you are in Christ. That truth never changes. As long as you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a minister of Christ. And ministers never stop ministering, or else you're no longer a minister. The greatest minister, servant of all, was Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 4:34 this, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to the will of him that sent me, and to what? Finish his work." Also in John chapter 17, verse number 4, Jesus said to God the Father, there we go. He says, "I have glorified thee on earth." He says, "I have what? Finished the work which thou gavest me to do." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said that he had finished his course. He said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." And he said, "I have what? Finished my course." Paul was faithful to the end. And Paul encouraged others to do the same, to be faithful. When Paul told Timothy to make full proof of his ministry, that phrase "full proof" means to completely accomplish it. Many people think that Paul literally turned the world upside down by himself, but he didn't. Your notes say this: Paul was faithful to the end, but Paul had many people that ministered with him along the way. Look with me on the screen at 1 Corinthians 3:9. Paul says, "For we are what? Laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." just three verses earlier in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says this. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Just here in Colossians chapter 4, look back in your Bible, just consider the list that Paul mentions in Colossians 4 of co-laborers. Paul mentions those that stayed with him. Paul uses the word faithful here to describe these men. These were faithful brethren who stuck with him through thick and thin, serving alongside of him. Look at Colossians 4, 7. The first one is Tychicus. And he calls Tychicus, in the middle of that verse, he says, who is a beloved brother and a what? Faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And then in verse number 9, he mentions Onesimus. He says, with Onesimus, Onesimus is a what? He's a faithful and beloved brother. If we go a little bit further and we look at verse number 10, we have Aristarchus. Aristarchus is one guy that traveled regularly with Paul, and he was with Paul when Paul was mobbed in Ephesus, when Paul was shipwrecked in the Mediterranean, when Paul was later imprisoned, Aristarchus was with him. In verse 10, he also mentions Mark, a guy that was with Paul in an early missionary journey and later Paul said was profitable for the ministry. These men Paul called his fellow workers. Folks, he didn't do it alone. Ministry is everyone's responsibility. Look at me at verse number 11. He says, and Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. He says, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. There were those that stayed with Paul through thick and thin. And then Clint showed us last night, there was those that prayed. In verse number 12 and 13, you have Epaphras. He's called in this verse, he's called a servant of Christ, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. The part of ministry that Paul points out is his prayer life, his faithful prayer life. There was guys also he mentioned in here, like Luke, who accompanied Paul on many of his journeys. He mentioned some lesser known individuals like Nymphas and Archippus. These were men that stayed, men that prayed. And then unfortunately, there were those who left Paul, who quit serving, who did not finish. There's one other guy that Paul mentions in this chapter, in chapter number 4, that you kind of worry about. His name is Demas. Demas is only mentioned 3 times in the whole Bible. First, he's mentioned in Philemon 24, and he's named along with 3 others who Paul calls my fellow workers. He's a worker. The next time Demas is mentioned in Scripture is in here in Colossians 4:14. He's mentioned here by name, but with no comment at all. He goes from being a worker to a watcher. And then he's mentioned one more time in the Bible. He's mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. He's departed unto Thessalonica. He became a wanderer, and the ministry was left up to someone else. Think about this for a second. If it was that easy for someone that had been serving live and in person with the Apostle Paul to go from a fellow worker to just a watcher and now to a wanderer, we are just as, if not even more, susceptible. It can happen to any one of us. The Bible says that the world that enticed Demas, he loved his presence. That world entices us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. After reading the outcome of Demas not finishing his course, I think I now understand a little bit better why Paul said, take heed of your ministry and fulfill it. Make full proof of your ministry. Completely accomplish it. It's important to remember that Paul didn't do ministry alone. This is an example in this chapter of 10 people, just 10 people that were his fellow ministers. In fact, in all of his letters, Paul mentions over 100 different people who worked alongside of him, that encouraged him, that assisted him, that made their ministry stronger. Now, I admit that at the end of a chapter like this, there's all kinds of verses that we tend to skip over, especially those that list people's names. Amen? Some of which we have never heard before, and some we cannot even pronounce. But to have your name mentioned in the Word of God is no small thing. People get their name mentioned in the newspaper, man, and they have it framed and they put it on a prominent place on their wall. I remember when I was 15 years old, the News Journal interviewed me in my public school on the subject of prayer in public schools. And to my surprise, in a couple days, that article was in the News Journal along with my picture. And it seemed like everybody in town cut it out and showed it to me. But imagine having your name printed in the Bible like these 10 guys in this chapter. There's a write-up about you and your ministry in his book, and you're being called faithful. Now that's something special. Amen. That's something to write home about. That's something to frame and put up on your wall. God is taking note, and one day you will stand before him. By finishing your course now, you will have the opportunity to hear these words later from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe God listed so many people that ministered with the Apostle Paul in the pages of the New Testament for us to see that reaching people with the gospel of Christ, discipling them in his word, running a church is not a one-man ministry. It's not a two-man ministry. It's not a three, four, five, six, seven-man ministry. It's an every-member ministry. This is our ministry, not someone else's. It's ours, received in the Lord, to take heed to, fulfill it. Many of our Bible Institute graduates put on their graduation form that their goal when they graduate is to become a better servant in the church. That's a great goal, because in too many cases, whenever there's a job to do, a class to teach, a meeting to attend, a vacancy to fill, a project to give to, something to pray for, one name is on everyone's list. Someone else. Let someone else do it. Just imagine what the Lord could accomplish through Crossroads if our attitude was whenever a need arose, whenever there was an announcement, whenever there was a PowerPoint slide, whenever there was a care card sign up, whenever there was a new ministry to start, whenever there was a person to visit, our first reaction would be to say, Lord, I'll do it. You can count on me to stay. You can count on me to pray. You can count on me to obey. Not someone else. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Fulfill your ministry. Let's pray.